say hello and welcome to another one of the seminars. I'm honored that you guys are here with me right now, or if you're listening on a later date in our archive files, I thank you again for trusting in me. I'm so happy that many of you take advantage of this program offered to you by the largest billing company in the martial art world, or on the planet, let's say, and not just the largest, but the best. This is Member Solutions, and I'm honored to work with them. And I would love to hear your comments, your feedback, and most of all, criticisms, if you have any. I'm the type of person that thrives on hearing what people has to say. I also love to learn, so please tell me if any of my systems are not working for you, or if you have used them and improved upon them. I'd love to hear that as well. I'll also share that with all of the clients, as well as my clients, on takingittothenextlevel.com, so that we can always continually improve and become better at what we do. Before we get started on the topic of the day, I had many requests to share with you guys more of things that I do on a regular basis of running my martial arts school. But I've heard more questions on what I do on a regular basis for marketing, and they wanted to know a little bit about me and so on. Most of you have heard me before, know a little bit about me, so bear with me if you do, as I do this for the new clients that are just getting acquainted with Member Solutions and I. My history goes a little bit like this. I'm a very traditional martial arts instructor with 39 years experience. Some people flatter me by not believing what I say, by stating that I look a great deal younger than I actually am. And this may be due to the fact that I'm a vegetarian. I really push the holistic and healthy lifestyle. In fact, I meditate regularly. I don't drink, smoke, never tried to do a drug in my entire life, not once. But I also practice yoga. And I think that is a healthful way of living life. I live by the philosophy that your body is your temple and your mind and body are linked to what we put into it. Just recently, I did a teleseminar for my students, and I also emailed it out to the next level clients on developing the attitude of gratitude as well as living the life of abundance. These are both things that I live by on a daily basis, so I'm honored to have been blessed to live this life and to have the opportunity to share my thoughts with people such as yourselves. It's my ultimate goal to help you by supplying you with fresh ideas or possibly even stimulating you with reminders on ideas that you've forgotten. In essence, the reason why I do what I do is to help people such as yourselves, because the more professional you become and successful, the more successful you become, you in turn could share that with your martial arts students, sharing your martial art knowledge with a wider base of clients and people. I do believe that martial arts are the magic pill. I really do. I think that, you know, we have so many things that we could share with people that will absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, change their lives. So that's why I do consulting with Member Solutions and taking it to the next level, because my true desire is to really help you as martial arts school owners reach the widest, you know, amount of people we can. Now, I continually receive emails from clients asking the question, how do I get more students? What do I do to market them? What ads do you have on taking it to the next level? In fact, just recently a client on taking it to the next level was asking around in some of the other forums for more advertising. They wanted to change the ads that I supplied and adjust them a little bit more. But I wanted to point out to you that, well, let me give you an example. Once at a seminar I attended by John Graydon, the owner of MATA, Martial Art Teachers Association, who I consider to be an incredible icon in the martial art industry, he said in the seminar that you only need a few ads. I agree with him. I don't think that you need more than 3 or 4 ads. These ads should be seasonal type ads. You don't need 20 or 30. As J. Conrad Levinson, the founder and owner of Guerrilla Marketing, he states that find what works and continually tweak, test, and tweak some more until you're satisfied with the results. And an advertising or marketing campaign's bottom line result should be to put more dollars in profit in your pocket. The goal is not to run these fancy campaigns with comedy and, you know, glitz and flair and so on, because if you do, you're going to lose the bottom line. And the bottom line is to get a new client through the door. It's not to dazzle them with the wit of, you know, I don't know, make them laugh or make them think. Half of the time, these commercials that we see on TV or hear on the radio don't even leave us with the reminder that of what they're trying to sell. So it's important that we find what we're doing, tweak it on a regular basis and make it work. You may be asking, what does marketing have to do with student retention? In not so many words, you need to get students in order to keep them. And I'm not just going to talk about marketing. Actually, I'm hardly going to talk about marketing, but I want to share with the clients on a regular basis through Member Solutions what I now consider in my schools ninja marketing tactics. In fact, we're now currently working on a site called ninjamarketingtactics.com. You can check it out in the future, but right now if you go to that domain name, it'll take you to my Taking It to the Next Level site. So continuing forward, what are our thoughts on student retention? My thoughts are that student retention is an endless system. There are many ideas that are equally effective as they can be as equally damaging to your school. So I want to go through that in this conference and talk to you more about what I see retention to be. The way I see it is simple. The more you retain, the more students you have. The less you have to market. The concept is not always having to bring people through the front door to keep your school growing. Of course, if you want to continually grow and you have that entrepreneurial attitude, you're going to continue marketing as you continue improving on your retention. Recently, I spent some time with a group of people. I'm involved with a group of peers in the business community, and I went to a business meeting, actually just yesterday, with 10 different business owners in different related fields. So it wasn't martial arts school owners. There was a printer, a contractor, a title company, a commercial kitchen manufacturer, a pneumatic tool company that does air tool sales. There was a manufacturer that designs and manufactures anything that you may be thinking of designing, whether you wanted to design a doll or a chair or a handle for a drill. He takes this and brings it to his company in Bulgaria and designs it. To say the least, this meeting was amazing. The interesting thing that I found was that many of the people had similar issues and thoughts. Even though they weren't in the martial art business, I kind of felt like I was talking to a bunch of my peers. I also suggested to the business owners many of the things that I do in my martial arts school, and getting their response, they thought it was very helpful to them. And they were going to utilize a lot of the retention tools, customer retention that I use, and they thought it was great. So with that being said, it's important for you to realize that these concepts are universal. It doesn't matter whether you're Taekwondo, Jeet Kune Do, Aikido, Karate Do, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, whatever. It doesn't matter what style you teach. This is all irrelevant to your style. The only thing that will stop you from making these things work is if you have a closed mind and you don't believe that it fits your personal philosophy. But I do urge you to think about it and see how that you could change it to adapt to what you do. Don't just disregard it and get rid of it, because it could help you change the way you do business or the way you effectively service your clients. Now, we also spoke about a 1% increase in retention, sales, and enrollment in the long run will build your business by like 20%. Rather than going into all the details and the mathematical equations, basically what I'm saying is that if you have 50 students starting January, and at the end of the year you have 50 students, most people look at that, and even the flaw in the retention report in Member Solutions website is false, and I'll tell you why. And this is not to say that Member Solutions is doing anything wrong. Of course, it's based off of contract renewal. It's not based on individual contract renewal. It's based on how many contracts you have at a specific period of time. So, for example, if you started with 50 students, at the end of the year you had 50 students on contract, you have 100% retention. If you started with 50 students and you have 40 students left, you'll have 90% retention. It doesn't talk about John Smith staying with you year after year after year. It talks about the actual amount of contracts, start and end. So with that being said, we have to look at our increases. So let's just pretend that we can increase our retention by, let's say, 1%. And we also at the same time increase our enrollment sign-up ratio by 1%. This quite dramatically could grow your school, because if you think about this, 1% of people who are staying longer and 1% of students that are staying or joining and staying longer or joining and coming in the door, your sign-up ratio becomes bigger, and then you retain those students longer, you're going to raise your percentages quite dramatically. So at the end of the year, if you started with 50 students and let's say you got I don't know, 50 new enrollments, if you have 100% retention, you should have 100 students at the end of the year. Now, rather than going into this, we could get into this long, drawn-out, winded kind of explanation. Basically, all I want you to know is that all you need to do is start increasing your sales, your retention, and enrollments by a small percentage. It's not about these, you know, fancy marketing campaigns and the newest, greatest ad that's out there. It's about the little things. So now, marketing is the process we do to get people through the door. Any client that's never heard about your business is a prospect, as long as they're open to suggestion. For example, you might want to market your martial arts school to a hospital where people can't walk. It's just not going to work. You may want to send out advertisements to people that just can't afford your tuition. Then it's a waste of advertising. So that's why I say it's important that marketing is a process we do to get to new people. Any clients that have never heard of you in your business, that's a prospect, as long as they're open to suggestion, meaning that they're a willing client, that they have some interest. Now, sometimes marketing may be, you could market to an old age home. That old age home may have grandchildren. The grandparents may say to their grandchildren. So there's never a dead-end marketing, but we want to get the best bang for our dollar. So these individuals may or may not be interested in your product, but they could be in the future, or they could be qualified better. You have to qualify your clients better. With that being said, there are many ways to do this, but not enough time to go into this process on this phone call. But if you want to get more information, just sign on to takingittothenextlevel.com. In the free open section, there's plenty of information there to read and get new ideas. The question being, what is retention? Clearly, to everyone, or martial arts school owners that I've spoken with, this means keeping students. What in reality should we do to keep students? And is keeping students really all there is to retention? The real quality or quantified result is keeping students purchasing. Too often we look at our students as either active or inactive, when in reality they may still be capable of being an income stream to our school. Why do we think of students as quitters or not quitters? If they stop training, the question should be, quite possibly, will they ever come back? Do they know anyone else? Could they recommend someone to us? Could they still show an interest in buying our DVDs and curriculum, online training? Could they subscribe to our newsletter? Would be they proud to be an owner of a school jacket if it had the right slogan on it? Do they still buy into our philosophies, concepts, and theories? Could they come to a seminar, even if they can't become a regular student? Could they attend a self-defense seminar, a meditation seminar, a spiritual seminar? Would they show up at our holiday party, etc.? A lead is always a lead until the client specifically tells you, stop marketing to me. So you never know who is still potentially a client. So that's why retention is not just about active people, because this also ties into many other clients and potential clients, that people who have stopped training or fell off the face of the earth temporarily, could those people still be a source of new students? When I recently did my seminar for my students on abundance, and the seminar actually was titled the Law of Attraction and Living the Life of Abundance, I had students online on this teleseminar that were from 12 different states. These were students that stopped training with me, and they were on the line from all over the place. But they're not actively in my dojo training. So am I still retaining them? Yes. Are those specific students bringing in money? Not really. But is there a way that I could tap into them and possibly teach them and help them and maybe keep them training with me in some way, shape, or form? They didn't want to leave my school for a specific reason. Some of them went away to college. Some of them got moved with their job. But I still keep them in the loop. Traditionally, retention is about keeping your active students. And if we increase our retention, then our bottom line in marketing will be improved. Forever, students that come through our door, we have a fixed cost on what it takes to get those new students through the door. Word of mouth still remains to be one of the most solid forms of advertising sources that we have. If you don't have satisfied clients, then they won't refer you. So if those clients are not overjoyed with our service, then they won't continue. So what is it that you're doing to woo your students and your clients and the parents? What are you doing above and beyond to keep them in your school? I'm going to give you 5 tips, so do me a favor, grab your pen. I'll say them. I'll explain them. Of course, you could go back and listen to this conference later, but I'll repeat them twice. So number one, one tip is continual communication with your clients. I can't tell you how many people do not get this point. School owners are so busy that they're actually hurting themselves. It's important for us to continually, on a regular basis, communicate with our clients. Yes, you might see the students in the school. You may talk to them on the floor as they leave in your lobby or sitting area. You may speak with a parent in private in your office. But the question you have to ask yourself is, how much do you communicate? I would consider most school owners' communication to be superficial at most. In order to communicate, you have to develop a friendship and a customer and business bond. How is this done? And I'm going to go over this a little bit more in detail in a minute at the end of this call. But think about this. If you've ever had a friend, and it could have been your best friend, and that friend went away to school and you went away to a different school and then you came back and you kind of didn't really always keep in touch, eventually you lost interest and you found other friends. The same thing goes with martial arts. If you're not continually keeping in touch, communicating, really literally actually speaking to those clients on a regular basis, then you're going to lose touch with them. And I do believe that the phone is a really great link to that. Number two, what is it that you're doing in your classes? Retention is not only based on fun games, exciting classes. Quite often, too many games are a turnoff to parents and students, and they become boring. We're not glorified daycare centers. We're a life skill institute, and you could copy that. That's one of my slogans. We're a life skill institute. So what is your curriculum like? What's being taught in the classes? And are students buying into it? That's important, number two. Number three, what are you doing as far as advancement? Is it easy or too hard to get a belt? Is it often or not often enough? What are you doing to get the pulse on your students? Are you asking them how they feel? Again, that communication factor is very important. So what are you doing as far as keeping them progressing forward? Because when people get stagnant, they get bored. In any relationship, whether it be a marriage, boyfriend and girlfriend, boredom is the destruction of relationships, the norm, the average, you know, plugging away, doing the same old thing, not keeping it excited is what destroys relationships. Very important to always have change and excitement and you know, continually keep people progressing with their goals. Very often in relationships, people will not move forward together so that they move apart. Number four, what do you do to communicate to your clients, students and the students slash or clients slash students about their responsibilities? Is it all on your plate to make sure that they're getting their belt, that they're learning their technique, that they're wearing their uniform, that they're being reminded about all these things? Do you have to jump through hoops of fire to keep them interested? Because after only a few times of jumping through a hoop of fire, that will become boring as well. Are you teaching your students that they play a part in their own motivation and education? Where do they play a part in the curriculum? Where do they link to the curriculum? What is their job as a student? This is important because if we educate people on this simple fact, they will become players in retaining themselves. Number five, last but not least on this specific area, do you paint a picture for them showing them that vision of the future? Making the movie, so to speak, in their mind's eye. They don't necessarily have to be teachers at the end of their black belt cycle or own their own schools, although I do believe that this is the ultimate goal. To teach makes you a great martial artist. So if they understand that their training eventually becomes a little bit of their teaching or teaching becomes a little bit of their training, then they're going to stick around a lot longer. You know, not necessarily do they have to be black belt instructors on a regular basis and live martial arts like we do as instructors, but they're expected to take on a little responsibility that comes with that honor of advancement through the ranks. With that responsibility comes a bond to your school. You know, people, when they become an icon within the community, people look up to them and mentor with them, and, you know, that bonds them to the function. Very often with charities, when people start doing charitable events or, you know, they find a cause that's dear to their heart, they are very ingrained and entrenched in this charity. You know, our martial arts school could be a part of their life in some shape or form. As an instructor, you need to try to look into that and see where you could link that together. Now, as I said, retention is not just teaching dynamic classes, although this is very important to do. But retention is as much a behind-the-scenes kind of thing as it is an upfront, in-your-face physical, you're doing a great job kind of concept. Here are some tips on the upfront retention issues. Remember that old saying, the students are either one step closer to black belt or one step closer to quitting? There's an addition that I put on that. I think you call it an addendum, right, if it's a legal thing, but I might be wrong. But in addition to that, there are also another saying that says a student is one step closer to quitting after receiving their black belt. So often, students, they get their black belt and they don't see any more reason for them to continue. They believe that they've achieved their goal and they get bored. So what is it as a school owner that we do to keep black belts motivated? And the most important thing is that we have to build a vision for them so that they could kind of see why they should stay. Now, you should look at retention as a complete system. If you do, it'll include many things in your arsenal. For my takingittothenextlevel.com clients, we always talk about these different things, and I'm going to go over a few of them quickly with you. So if you can, get your pens out and start writing or sharpen your pencil or whatever, and I'll go over this again with you, at the end one more time. But I want to list a few things, and I'll explain it as I go. So number one is monitoring attendance. Simple and, pretty obvious, but not always done on a regular basis. The obvious sometimes is not always obvious. Just like they say common sense is not so common, monitoring attendance is the most important thing that you could do. And it shouldn't just be done on your computer if you're using a software package or program. It should be done in a hard card format, in my opinion. Let me explain why. The reason, if you have a hard file card that you pull out during class, you can see who's missing on a regular basis as you check their attendance. You can also ask that student when you see them in person why they haven't been there. The student may say, I've been on vacation and I forgot to tell you. Then you immediately write it down as a note on the back of your card. You can also look at the patterns as you see their attendance either spike or fail. Very often looking at it in a computer without graphs, just seeing what their attendance is doesn't give you an algorithm of where they're coming and when they're coming, if they're coming often and so on. And you can see patterns in their attendance. It also will give you a good picture of their training methods, because poor attendance habits lead to lost students. So visually, you should monitor this on a regular basis. Number two, always keep classes exciting, but most importantly, interesting and mentally stimulating and challenging. This really doesn't have to be explained. This is the nuts and bolts of what we do as martial artists. So number two is always keep classes exciting, but most importantly, interesting and mentally stimulating and challenging. Number three, have all teachers teach with an air of professionalism and charisma, and I would almost have to say mysticism in a way. I hate to say it, but sometimes school owners are doomed from the very day they step onto the training floor because they don't have the personality for teaching. I remember in my life only about three school teachers in my public school life that have impacted me. The rest of them were all forgotten. So you see, as a martial art teacher, we have to have that charisma, that mysticism, so students look up to us in a way. And we have to deliver a message with professional message that is impactful, inspirational, and, they could take it home with them. I suggest to you, if you're really not comfortable with public speaking or maybe even, this kind of realm, you kind of feel that you could do some work in this area, take an acting class or go to a public speaking class, and I guarantee you this will help you not only in your school presentations but on the classroom training floor. Number four, do you have belt advancements on a regular basis? If not, think about why and possibly implement a striping system or a review process to keep the students motivated, but most importantly, so that they have a little bit more goal-setting mentality. So number four is, do you have belt advancements regularly? Number five, does your curriculum frustrate or bore the students? Is it too challenging or not challenging at all? This is a big question, and most of the time, it doesn't matter to martial arts schools what business systems they have in place. They'll lose many students just for the simple fact that the curriculum either frustrates, bores, or is challenging or not challenging enough. Number six, what is it that you're doing extra to keep students going? Do you praise them in class? Do you do the necessary high fives during the class? I have a two-time rule, we call it. Write this down, the two-time rule. This rule is to make eye contact and either a word or a praise or a pat on the back or a high five to show those students that they're important. It doesn't matter if you have 20 students on the floor. When I teach, I always make it my business, my goal within my teaching structure to always talk to an individual student, look at, high five, or pat on the back every single student in the class at least twice in that class. Now, here are some behind-the-scenes ideas for you to utilize in your class or in your business. Remember two things. If you want more information, you can always talk to me through, you know, setting up an email or a personal one-on-one consulting call through Member Solutions. This is available to you guys, and quite often, not that many clients take advantage of taking this 20-minute one-on-one call. All you have to do is call up Member Solutions, speak to one of the representatives there. They will give you my schedule, and you could pick my brain and go over anything that you want anytime. You know, you could set up. I do this 3 times per month. So you can set up whatever time is good for you and it's convenient for you. Or if this is not good and you're not good with one-on-one, you know, talking on the phone, then you can email me at any time. And my email is renshi.ninja@aol.com. I'll spell it renshi.ninja@aol.com. Now, I want to move on to a bunch of really kind of behind-the-scenes things that I do in my school and my organization to maintain my students. Number one is a 2-4-6-8-10-week call system that we have. Now, I have this available to my next-level clients, and I've had some next-level clients that literally have transformed their entire business just using this system. In fact, I have one client that it took me about 3 months to convince to do it, and once he finally did, he said, aha, this is really why you've been pushing me. And now this doesn't end just after the 10 weeks. We also do a 5-month call, and then we talk to our clients on a regular basis on the phone. Nothing says that you're more important like a phone call to let people know that and ask them if they have questions. This is a time for you to answer questions and pre-frame them for other things like upgrades. I'm going to mention upgrades in a minute. Number one is the 2-4-6-8-10-week calls. If you're not utilizing this and you're so busy, hire someone to do it. Delegate it. I had a saying that came out of my mouth the other day that actually is kind of cool, and it shocked me, what you hate, you should delegate. So if you don't enjoy something, find someone that can do it for you. Just don't disregard it. Don't ignore it. So number two, we miss you calls. This should be done on a weekly basis when a student misses class. Number three, we miss you postcards. For those people that you leave messages for or can't get in touch with when they miss class, you should send them a We Miss You postcard in the mail. Very often this will cross in the mail and the student will be back in class the next week, but you know what? It shows them that you care. Number four, birthday cards and birthday calls. You should be calling your students on a regular basis on their birthdays, and if you don't have the time for that and you have 400 students in your school, send out birthday cards on a monthly basis. Very often this can be done ahead of time, and it may also lead into birthday parties at your school, and if you're following my unbirthday and birthday party program, you should be giving out free birthday parties and free unbirthdays or a party just for the sake of doing a party to your clients as a source of lead generation. We started this campaign in January, and it's been working unbelievable for my students, my clients, as well as my next level clients also. Number five, for demotivated students, give them a free 20-minute private lesson. This is designed to get them over their sticking points, over their frustrations, and help them get back on the floor. Number six, special goal-setting meetings. We usually do this on a renewal period of time, or 3 months before the renewal, where we sit down with the parents, the students, and we reevaluate why they're there. Very often, it changes throughout their training period. You know, Mrs. Smith signed up her little son, Johnny, because he had no confidence. All of a sudden, he becomes the most confident kid in the world through your martial arts. Now we have to reevaluate what's the next goal, or else it becomes boring. He went there for no confidence. Now he has confidence. Why don't we quit and try something else? So we have to reestablish our goals. So we very often do goal-setting meetings. Number seven, special classes for review. Now this helps people when they have a test coming up or they have sticking points in their training. We do this on Sunday, and we call it open mat. Every Sunday, we do this for our students who need extra help, and we have a few black belts that volunteer their time, and these people could come in and just say, hey, I need help on my kata, I need my help on my self-defense. and it's entirely up to them what they want to work on. It's just like extra help in school. Number eight, I did mention before continual advancement, but only when deserved. So if you don't do it if they don't deserve it. I know there are some martial arts schools that do it every 8 weeks and they get a new stripe and they just keep on moving through. And very often this is like school, the public school systems, and people graduate high school not knowing how to read or do math. It's really a poor way as a martial art school to run your organization. So be very careful that you're not just getting people and promoting them. Number nine, this is a system that has been incredible on taking it to the next level called the Perfect Attendance Rewards. In my school and for most of my next level clients, they're using this with incredible effects. This has really helped tweak retention in my school. When I first began, I only did a small portion of my students receive perfect attendance. Now, 3 years later, after instituting this program, we're giving out trophies, rewards, T-shirts, and plaques to one-third of our enrollment, hundreds of trophies a month. And if you want to find out more about this, you could just email me or, you know, become a member of Taking It to the Next Level. But email me, and I'll help you. Remember, if a student is continually training and engaged, there's going to be less likelihood of them wanting to quit. Number 10. This is huge, 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 is an education forum for parents. Very often, if we had one segment of the population leave our enrollment or quit our school, what portion of it probably would be the most damaging? It would be that if we didn't speak with parents and have parents, because the parents bring all the kids from 3 years old on up to 16-year-olds to our program, maybe to 18 years old because they're often paying for it, as well 16 to 18-year-olds are getting paid for by their parents. So if we're not appealing and educating the parents, then we're losing out on a tool, or not a tool because parents are not a tool, but we're losing out on one of the legs of our table of really reaching our clients. Teaching parents how they can help their children is very important. How many of your parents don't know a thing about martial arts? I know mine. You know, they're just bringing their kids to martial arts. If a child was doing baseball, most parents could stay engaged and teach and help their child. They could buy a mitt. Even if they're not an all-star, they could go out and have a catch with their kid. They could bring their kid to a stadium to watch a baseball game. They could watch a game on TV. They could do many things to stay engaged. But in martial arts, parents often feel left out and out of their league so that they don't get involved. They don't say much. They just watch. They say, show me this and show me that, and they just watch. They can never say, do this and do that, because they can't. They don't know it. So more often, we do these parent coaching seminars. For example, this past weekend, one of my top guys, Tom Fallon, he runs my West Islip school, did a training seminar for what we call our SHEI. It's an inter-school competition. He did a review with the students, but the rule was that they had to bring a parent. They had to attend with a parent, and it was an amazing idea. It was ingenious. I watched as he had the parents out on the floor learning the moves so that they knew what to look for in this upcoming competition. They were actually out rolling around doing grappling with their kids, and they were having a blast, and the kids were having a blast. And very often, you could possibly sign some of those parents up, but really the goal is to educate them more so that they will stay longer. And when their kid wants to quit, they'll say, oh, no, this is too good for you. This is something that we, mommy and daddy, believe in. Now, I also recommend a book by a good friend of mine, Solomon Brenna. He's a member of Member Solutions as well. He wrote a book called Black Belt Parenting. It's available on Amazon.com as well as AtouchOfZen.com, and you could buy it through, I think, Asian World of Martial Arts. But it's a great book that you could sell to your parents to give them tips on what we do in the martial arts setting and how we teach so effectively. Very often you hear the comments saying, I wish you could come home with me because he listens to you in class. Well, that's because we use certain tools. And maybe if you could supply those parents through this educational forum, these tools, you will, without a doubt, retain more students. Number 11, a newsletter, website, or any other communication network. This is of the utmost importance. If you're not doing this, you're missing out on a whole realm of other communication. The parents, your ex-students, the people that are getting your emails on a regular basis could always possibly potentially come back to your school. You know, I think that it's so important for us to share with our students, you know, and talk to them on a regular basis and give them tips and our own personal stories our philosophies, our concepts, and our ideas. I don't recommend an open online forum that many people have on their websites. I have one right now on my website, and it's just a continual problem because people start talking about how Bruce Lee could beat up Chuck Norris and how Steven Seagal could beat up, you know, Von Damme, and it's ridiculous stuff like that. And then, you know, you always get that spam, and it's always chancy, you know, with people saying negative things about you if you have a disgruntled parent or employee that for everyone to see. So be careful with public forums, but make sure you get out a newsletter and get your website a way to communicate. And I also use audiogenerator.com, where I send out these audio messages to my parents via email or my students via email. Number 12, extracurricular events. Movie nights, special seminars, holiday parties, we do many of these. Remember, if a person loves baseball, then they can easily play in school, they can get on a little league team, they can watch their favorite players at the stadium in person or watch them on television, they can go out with their glove and their ball and their hat and play on the courtyard or the side street, and they have a huge support system. They have hats with the team's names on them, T-shirts, their favorite players are on baseball cards and posters and clocks. What do we do as school owners to keep our clients engaged? What is it that we're doing? What tools are we handing parents to keep them motivated? I recommend on a regular basis, which is my next number, is recommending books and videos for students to watch or parents and students to watch with their kids. So one book that I recommend, and I sell a ton of these books, is Dawn Barnes' book, and she's a friend of mine and a genius, a good dancer. That's an inside joke. But her books are really great to get the parents and kids engaged together. They make it a family affair where they could read, and the books are called The Black Belt Club. The message is huge for retention. The books are very inexpensive. They're around $4. They're recommended by Scholastic Book Club, so very often your kids are seeing them in their school book, you know, book catalogs and sales. And I believe that this is a huge link, is getting people to do extra events at home, tying them into the martial arts. Home practice is another one, making sure that they start building their own home gym. Do they have a mat that they can roll on? Do they have a kick pad that they can kick and punch? These are all retention tools that we should be pushing. And also, you know, it also could increase your retail sales. Number 15 would be upgrades. Do you have programs in place that a student can upgrade? For example, in my school, they start off in a basic program. They eventually move to Black Belt Club. Our goal is eventually to shift into what we call our Master's Elite program. And then eventually, they're either going to go from Master's Elite to instructor training, or if they're younger, they're going to go into our Team Leadership Character Development program that's also available on Next Level. So the last three that I just said were upgrades, and then I had instructor training is another retention tool, and 16 is team leadership and character development programs. Now, I know I just said 16, but we really, really need to think about this because there are many, many more things. There's probably 100 things that I talked about that are engaged in keeping students active and motivated. And if you can, like the old saying goes, plug the holes in the bucket, lock the back door, whatever analogy you want to use, it's very important for us to really realize that retention is marketing. Retention, keeping a student satisfied and active, is going to keep them recommending people to your school. All of these things are what I call an inside-out company. Having a martial art business that's inside out, not outside in. Outside in is part of the marketing that we talked about, reaching clients that have never heard about us. But inside out business is when you have an internal marketing program. And not always is it outward marketing. It's kind of like a covert kind of marketing. For example, I've spoken about this a million times. If you drew a line on a piece of paper and you had one end on it, you drew a flat line. On the right end, you drew a flat line. And in the middle, you drew a line going through. On the left side, it said unsatisfied. On the right side, it said highly motivated. And the middle, down the middle of this line, it said satisfied. You have to ask yourself the question, how many of our students are just satisfied? I've used the example of going to a restaurant. And in a restaurant, you could get a good service experience, you could have a good service experience or a bad service experience. The good service experience may have you come back. A bad service experience may say never go back again. Sometimes we're forgiving, so on a bad service experience, we may agree that it's all a fluke, so we'll give it another shot. But if we try it over and over again, or maybe one other time, and it's a bad service experience, we'll never do business with that business again. If we remain in the middle, satisfied, we may go back over and over again, but we may not recommend this business to our friends and family, and we might not buy gift certificates and so on, because we're just satisfied. But highly motivated is when we're in a position where we're overjoyed with the service experience, and we have no doubt in my mind or in our minds that if we tell someone else, we're not going to look bad. Very often when people refer people to us, they're fully convinced that they're not going to get themselves in trouble. We could call a client up and say, Mrs. Jones, can you refer someone to us? Can you give five people five numbers of friends of your, that you know, or people that you could recommend? Very often people may not give you those names and phone numbers because they're afraid, one, that the people are going to get mad at them because they gave out their name and number, or two, that we may do something wrong and those people will end up annoyed at them for referring us. So we need to get our clients to be so happy, so highly motivated, so fully satisfied with our service, with our using all these ideas that I gave you for retention, that they would have no problem whatsoever giving our name out or giving us a name, because they know in their heart of hearts that what we do is the right thing. I just recently read the book, The Starbucks Experience. I recommend that to you guys, The Starbucks Experience. And it was amazing about all the little things that Starbucks employees are taught to do, are allowed to do, and how they won't get in trouble. For example, I read an article in the book about one section about a guy every day would go in and he'd buy the whatever frappe, mocha, chai, latte, whatever they have. And he walked outside, laid it on his car, and it spilled on the floor. He came back in and asked for another one, just to buy another one. And the lady said, what happened? And the guy says, well, I just dropped it when I was walking outside. So she made another one. He reached in his pocket for money, because it was his fault that he dropped it, and went to pay her. And she said, no, this is on us. You didn't get to drink your coffee. The guy left. He was just overjoyed, wrote about this in the Starbucks Experience as one of the customer, satisfaction reviews. And he said that he just couldn't believe how engaged Starbucks was to making his experience, above and beyond. This is the kind of service that we want to give our clients, and we want to be able to go out there and woe them to the point where they think that we are the ultimate, and they're so highly motivated that they're going to recommend people to us without any hesitation whatsoever. Now, there are a million tools that we use in our schools, in my schools, Long Island Ninjutsu Centers, and on taking it to the next level on a regular basis, and we share with our clients so that they can start to build this ultimate customer experience. Yes, it's all about kicking and punching, but if you think about it, the business end of the martial art business is so intricate that without all these little tiny components, you will find that you'll lose students, you'll gain students, you'll lose students, and you'll gain students. Very often I talk to school owners that have been open for 10 years and they have 50, 60 students, 100 students. Even if you added on 10 people a year, you'd be doing better than that. My question is, why is it that as martial art business owners, sometimes we get caught up in the day-to-day activities and we forget or we put off or we intend to do things that are probably going to change within the snap of a finger if we do them correctly, the way our school is being run, the way people perceive us as owners of businesses, the way our clients, the retention of our clients, and so on. This is easy. It's in the little, small details. That's what makes big, huge schools. My school was built one step at a time, and I don't have 1,100, 1,200 students in my school by, pure luck. It's not because I've sold out and I sold my soul to the devil or that I just run a commercial school. Very often, I'm kind of, talked about in the ninjutsu community as a sellout. Because most people believe that you can't run a ninjutsu school successfully like I do without selling out the art. which to me just shows the limited mentality with a lot of martial arts school owners, the ones that so-called, and I'm holding my fingers up right now doing the quote sign, that they believe that commercialism is a plague because if you charge a dollar or you charge $500 for a class, you're still commercial. If you're giving it away for free, then maybe you have the right to talk. But I do believe that if we want to help our students, we have to put these systems in place and we have to work hard at the intricate details, the systems that run our school on a regular basis. We need to follow the mentality of follow up and follow through rather than, you know, saying I'm going to get around to it. I'm going to do it. Like I said, I have clients that have quadrupled their businesses using just 2-4-6-8-10-week call systems and constant phone communication alone. Out of the one system that I teach, which is on my month one concepts of takingittothenextlevel.com, this one system has literally changed the whole entire way schools have been run and the way that they're running, you know, growing and so on. Very often I have people email me and say, hey, Allie, give me the next ad. Give me the next idea. Like I said, it's not about new ideas and new ads. All you need is four ads. You need a spring ad, you need a summer ad, you need a fall ad, and you need a holiday ad. That's it. Those four ads, that's all you need to advertise your schools. Those ads just need to be tweaked. If you run an ad in the paper and it doesn't work, you don't just throw it away and run a new ad. What you need to do is change that ad ever so slightly. Maybe the offer, maybe the tagline, maybe, you know, the coloring or the size, and you just want to see how the next one does. If you get two calls, then you know you did something right, and add to that. Change a little bit more. Add a little bit more, but don't disregard it, because if you do, you'll never truly know how to put together a marketing campaign that's effective, because it's almost like rolling the dice in Las Vegas. You never know. There's no way that you can have a system to winning. If we could tell, you know, every fourth time we rolled the dice we would win big, then might as well bet big on the fourth time and low on the first three times. You know, that's what keeps people playing slot machines in Las Vegas. They think that if they stick it out, it's eventually going to pay off. But eventually, they give up. And that's what advertisement is like. It's not about giving up. It's about continually staying on task and having a plan and slightly tweaking it a little at a time. Retention is all about tweaking what you do ever so slightly. Very often on Taking It to the Next Level, I get people that will cancel and they'll say, it's nothing different. Well, I can't say that what I have is just my own invention. It's borrowed and you know, used from other people, from seminars I've gone to. But what I've done is put it together in a fashion that it works for everyone in a systematic way where it works for my schools with no questions asked, no confusion, and no one has to reinvent the wheel. Anyway, Kathy, I've been going for 50 minutes. So let's – did you fall asleep on me or are you still there? No, just kidding. Can we open it up for questions? Can we see if anyone's out there that wants to add to this or anything or comments or ideas, and I'll help you out? So everybody, if you hit the 6 key or the star 6 key, you could unmute yourself by doing – and if there's anyone out there that has a question, please feel free to, you know, chime in because I'd love to help you.
Ellie?
Sir?
This is Robert Bowles. I have some schools in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I have several questions, but I'll just stick to one right now. You mentioned your 2-4-6-8-10-week calls.
Yes.
Do you do that on a – do you have a calling machine that does that, or do you have an individual?
Oh, we do it in person.
You do it in person?
Yeah, well, we call personally on the telephone.
Right. Right. Okay. You mentioned all these different things. I just wonder.
I know it sounds like a lot, right?
Just, inundating, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? I want to point out that you know, a lot of times people, I read my schedule sometimes or send it out in emails, like what I get accomplished during the day. And very often people say to me like, wow, you know, you must be a master at getting this stuff done. And, you know, quite often feel that I'm quite lazy. You know, I get a lot of time to sit. My people say to me, how do you watch so much TV? How do you sleep so much? You know, and how do you do this? I have to say that what I hate, I delegate, and the things that I want to do, I do, and then it doesn't seem like work. But what I do is one thing that makes me a success, if I could be considered a success at anything I do, is that I definitely, without a doubt, schedule my time to do things that are important on a regular basis. So, that, for example, for yourself, 2-4-6-week calls will ultimately change the way you do your school, and you'll find that people will be overjoyed when you call them where you'd say, how come I haven't been doing this forever?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's that important to you, then I would schedule a Saturday afternoon for 2 hours while you're, you know, while you're normally doing something else. Do the important things in the 2-4-6-week calls, even if you did them, you know, only on Saturdays for 2 hours, within a month and a half, you'll get through, you know, a few hundred students.
Sure.
And I think that it's so important, because what it's going to do is you're going to start to see it change many other things in your school. You're going to get the pulse on why, you know, this little boy loves dinosaurs, and instead of saying do the bear walk, he'll do the Tyrannosaurus Rex. The smile comes to his face from ear to ear. That one student is that much more happier just because you had inside information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's important. The 2-4-6-week call is also a way for you to always and forever, at the end of each call, to ask for a referral. On my program, TakingItToTheNextLevel.com, we give scripts out for everything on this stuff, so people could, you know, not word for word utilize the script, but at least know what to ask.
Right, right. Okay, so where do I get that script?
You'd have to become a member for Taking It to the Next Level for that, but if you email me, I gave you my email address, email me and I'll try to give you as much information as I can without totally selling out my program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or become a member, and for all those people that are listening, if you want to become a member, all you have to do is go right to the website and sign up. And the greatest thing is Member Solutions knows it works, so that they actually use it in their client education program where they pay towards your membership, because they're so confident of it, they pay towards the membership and you get a discounted rate. So it's just another way of Member Solutions being the best, because they really, really are so behind their clients' education. They realize the more that you guys have in Europe, in, you know, available to you, the better it is for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't been in on one of teleconference calls for over a year. I've only been on a few, but
well, I hope you like this one.
But appreciate your efforts here, and certainly I can.
My pleasure. Listen, email me. I'd love to stay in touch with you and keep working with you.
All right, thanks.
So is anyone else out there that has any other questions?
Yoshi Ali, it's Dwight Woods in Miami.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Great to hear.
Listen, over the years, with all the studying that I've done and all the help that I've gotten from you, there's still one thing that I'm trying to wrap my brain around, and I thought maybe you could help me with it.
I hope so.
I'll try. The difference, or the connection between advertising and marketing?
Yes. You know what? Well, first of all, if you look at the simple definition of advertising in the dictionary and marketing in the dictionary, they have two separate functions. But to be honest with you, really what we want to know is how we can get more people in our door. You know, the best thing that I recommend to all the people out there listening is invest the time and buy the books by J. Conrad Levinson called Guerrilla Marketing. As a matter of fact, I'm reading one now that I just got from him. It's his newest book. I really don't know the title of it, but it's phenomenal. Now, marketing under J. Conrad Levinson, or advertising under J. Conrad Levinson's theory is anything you do to get in touch with people who are not aware of your business. That's basic bottom line. It could be a handshake in a supermarket. It could be a free seminar. It could be a billboard on a bus. It could be a 2-4-6-8-10 we call referral. It could be a free birthday party. It could be anything of those kind of ideas. That is marketing. Quite often, people don't realize that retention tools, like keeping students so happy so that they refer you, is a source of marketing. I come from the mentality of my Taking It to the Next Level program, starting off from those areas so that your referrals are so high that you almost don't need to market. But at the same concept, most people want to hear give me another ad, give me another idea, give me another thing, what's the best forum? And there's no answer to that. That's why these companies like McDonald's and Nike, they spend billions of dollars a year to try to get clients, very often finding out that they waste billions of dollars a year. That's why when people like President Bush and all these guys that go around and they go on the campaign trail, they spend billions of dollars in advertising, but the bottom line result comes down to when they travel and speak to people in person. That's what marketing is all about, is about reaching that person personally. And you could run an ad in the paper, and very often people see this ad and they just don't connect to it. It doesn't have the right picture. It doesn't look good. So it's wasted money. So I think that we really need to get an idea that marketing is a variety of different things. The more arsenal that we have, the more marketing tools we have, the weapons, as I call it in the ninja marketing tactics, the more marketing weapons we have, the better we are at bringing in new clients. Does that answer your question at all, or because you know I could keep on going?
Yeah. You know, because I think what happens sometimes, because I know this happened to me years and years ago, is you run an ad and there's like zero results for it. And so then you start to think that, well, you know, advertising doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, that's what we always want to say, you know, because we always give up because we're not sure. It's kind of this mystical, untapped education, you know, in things that we don't, you know, we're not sure. We're not marketers. We haven't gone to school for it. And I think, honestly, very often people who go to school for it and that are even in the marketing trade don't have a clue about marketing. They really don't. And I'll tell you, like, for example, Jay Abraham talked about how, and this guy's a genius, he once took a gold company that was selling gold, and you might have even heard the story on some of his audio tapes, and basically he took their ads and he got like 20% of all their sales. And he tweaked the ad, the existing ad that they were using, he tweaked it, and he just changed it slightly, and he got 5% more response. Then he went back, and the next time he tweaked it again, and it was the same ad, just tweaked a little bit more, and he got 10% response. He did it one more time, and he got 40% more response. He ended up making like $20 million on the return because they were selling gold, and then they eventually sold diamonds. But he just took the same ad, and he tweaked it. So if we're running an ad, sometimes it could be where we're running it. Not to say that the ad doesn't work. Maybe now we need to tweak it by putting in a different paper. Maybe we might get different results. Or maybe we might want to tweak the ad and change the offer. And if we get more calls, then let's do it. But as martial artists, you know, even with the problem with Natma and Maya is every month they supply you with a new ad. What does this lead us to believe? That we should change our ads on a monthly basis. It's almost a hit or miss. You know, if we're getting an ad out there and we're bringing in three kids, let's run that ad again, change it a little. Maybe we'll bring in six kids. Don't change it to a new concept, a new picture. You know, there are no bench warmers in our school. You know, they're, you know, bullying program. Doing, and then the next month, different and different and different. And then all of a sudden, we go back and we say we wasted $5,000 on advertisement and we didn't get any people. We need to kind of stick with the same concept and continually test market. It's so important to test market our stuff and continually test and tweak. Does that make sense at all?
Makes perfect sense. Thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. I only have like 1 minute left. If anyone else has a question, let's get it. We'll do it real quickly. Anybody else out there?
Allie, Jeff Osinski from PK in Pittsburgh. How you doing?
Great, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Real quick question. Core advertising, where do you see – we track everything that comes into our school, but the yellow book versus the internet boom.
Okay.
Where do you see this – I know the West Coast seems to be 4, 5, or 6 years ahead of the East Coast. We started a major internet campaign just in November of last year and are seeing tremendous results. Our yellow – people are basically, you know, our rates are going up tremendously every year. Do you see that? Do you see a need in the industry for us maybe to start pulling back from the yellow book and getting into the more dynamic, like the internet, more and more?
Well, you know what? If I could say that, then I'd have to be a mind reader and a fortune teller. And the reason why I say it like that is because, you see, this is exactly where we run into the problem, because then I would tell you something, and being that I'm supposedly, and again, I'm doing the quote thing, an expert at what I do, you may believe me. And I don't want to say that to you. What you need to do is you have to ask yourself, is the yellow book bringing you in people?
Yes.
Okay, so if on average, let's just pretend you pay $5,000 a year for the Yellow Book ad.
Okay.
And how many students would you say you brought? Well, how much do you pay for the Yellow Book, just quickly?
I pay $300 a month for the Yellow Book, and since four or five years ago, we were getting 81% of our students from the Yellow Book. As of last year, we were down to about 26% of our students.
Okay, well, listen to this. It doesn't really matter where the trends are going. It just matters whether it's still bringing profit into your school, because advertising trends will change. The problem is once the trend changes so much that you don't get anything from it, that's when you disregard it. So, for example, let's just say you said you pay $300 a month. That's $3,600 a year, and you get 26% of your students. How many students would that equate to in over the year? Let's just say, how many people did you get last year on Yellow Book? Was it 10?
About 10,
20?
11, yeah.
Okay, so let's say you got 11 students. How much do they pay a year?
The average is about $85 or $90 a month.
Okay, so that's $900 a year, let's just say.
Okay.
So you netted $5,000 on your – oh, no, you paid $3,600, subtract $9,900, let's just say on average. You made $6,300 profit. Do you think that that's a smart business decision?
It's smart, but tracking these numbers since November with what's going on the Internet, things are really, really –
Yeah, you're right. You're right, and you do have to look at this, because if it drops to the point of no return where you could take that $3,600 and put it into another area – then maybe that would be financially smart for you to do, or keep what you're going, keep getting that $6,000 profit from the Yellow Book, and then run another and concentrate at the same time on your internet marketing campaign, and have twice the volume of things coming through.
Gotcha.
You know, very often we shoot ourselves in the foot because we say it's not returning. You know, if I were to ask you this question, and we'll end on this thought, if I said to you, I have $5,000 in cash sitting on my table, would you give me $2,000 for that? You would say yes, no doubt. You'd hand me $2,000. You'd even borrow it, right, if you didn't have it, to make $3,000 in profit. Sometimes we throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, that old saying, or we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot because we don't really think, like, hey, are we still making a profit? Then it's a good idea. Yeah, it might not have been as great as it was 5 years ago. If the trend might be changing, but you have to just continually do what you do and watch it real closely so that you know when's the time to pull out. It's not like saying stay in a burning house because you have so much money invested in it. You know, don't stay in the stock market just because you bought the stock. Get out when it's going bad, but watch it closely because the trends may trend back upward again.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anyway, guys and girls, and ladies and gentlemen out there, you know, I want to say thank you again. Once again, I'm honored to be on this phone call. If any of you want to email me, RenshiLiNinja@AOL.com. You can also contact me through Via Member Solutions. You could set up a one-on-one conference call. You and I could talk for 20 minutes privately about anything you want to talk about. And I urge you to become members of TakingItToTheNextLevel.com. I really do. We have a guy last month, no joke, he grossed $71,000. It was his biggest month, $71,000 for 1 month in his school. And I asked him how he did it, and he said, I basically just followed all the systems that you said to do. Now, this guy did better than I did. And I'm the one who's giving him the systems. He did better than I did that month. And I think that it's a great program. And if you're a business owner, it's whatever, $69 in your future, even if you get one stupid idea out of it that could bring you in a new student, it's paid off your entire year enrollment. It does not pay not to do something like that. You need to continually look at these things, but don't get overwhelmed and inundated by having too much information. Find one source that you could trust in and take advantage of it. That's my basic, you know, business tip of the day. I can't wait to talk to you guys. Thank you so much. Kathy, thanks so much for helping and being on the line with me. And everybody have a great and prosperous month. I hope to speak to you real soon. Take care. Have a good day. Bye-bye.